was riding the car, he just started reaching back with his big hands and started grabbing foods and started putting in his mouth. And as they were, he was driving, also the Rakshasi could eat the horses, everything. He was riding the horses and he was just eating and eating and eating. He was just enjoying like anything. And finally he got to the top. Bakasura was waiting. It was several times, you know. And he saw that there was practically nothing left in the cart. And then he saw Bhima eating everything. He was furious. What is this nonsense? You are eating my meal. You have now come to my abode, which for you will be the abode of death. Today I will destroy you. Not only will I destroy you, I will tear you to pieces and torture you and then kill you for what you have done, this offense. I challenge you. So Bakasura started coming at Bhima. Bhima told him, wait till I finish my prasad. When I'm eating prasad, I don't like to be disturbed. So Bakasura attacked him. He came at Bhima with all of his mighty power and his fists. He began to try to destroy Bhima. Bhima with one hand was just pushing him, keeping him at distance. And with the other hand, he was eating prasad. And then he would just push him and then eat. With his left hand he would push, with his right hand he would eat. This went on for some time. And the woman was becoming too much anxious. He was attacking, attacking. Push away. Finally he finished every morsel, every crumb in the whole wagon. Took some water, washed his hands. And all right, Bakasura, now you want to fight. Now I have had my meal. And then they began to fight. And it was a most incredible fight. They were both so powerful. They were both more powerful than 10,000 men. And they fought and fought. And they were both screaming with such force that the earth was shaking. And then Bhima, he thought, I'm not playing with this foolish demon. He took the demon with his powerful hands and he took his head and pushed it into his body. Then he took his arms and pushed it into his body. Then he took his legs and pushed it into his body. So there was just one ball. And then he took that ball and he started pounding it, kicking it, beating it, bouncing it. So it was just a huge, gigantic, bloody mess. No one could figure out what or who it was. So then Bhima put that bloody mess on the wagon. And he drove down. This was at night. And he left the demon's body, Bakasura, at the gate of the city of Apachakra. And the next morning, when the residents of Apachakra woke up, they found Bakasura's body totally pulverized. It took them a while to figure out who it was, but they did. Meanwhile, Bhima came back to the home of Kunti. And Kunti was, you see, it took him a little longer than expected. So Kunti was becoming a little concerned. So when Bhima came back, everyone was very happy. And then he came back and she said, so Bhima, how are you? And he was feeling a little happy. He said, I am next. First good meal in months. So then Kunti told the Brahmin family that when these people come, you must say that your son killed the demon. Because if anyone else suspects that someone else did it, the news, she couldn't tell why, but in her heart she was thinking that in Hastinapur they will know only Bhima can do this. So the next day, there was a big festival, celebration. when everyone was honoring this little Brahmin son, but feeling like demon. Huh? And he was just like accepting all this worship and honor of, you know, son, he was so powerful. He was just a bread and a country in the Pandavas, he was accepted. So this Eka Chakra Dham has been a little sacred holy place in the holy Vedic scriptures since time immemorial. Mind of Duryodhana. Dhritarashtra was making all diabolical arrangements to destroy the five sons of Pandu. So at one time, they decided that the Pandavas must be kept. Then they would have no opposition in controlling the empire of the world. So that as soon as any fire would touch it, the whole house would immediately be raging with fire. So they told the Pandavas that you go, have a nice vacation, Yudhisthira Maharaj, we want you to enjoy, you've been working very hard, we've got you this beautiful, luxurious house, and we will also give you a nice servant. Now this servant was taught by Duryodhana that you keep them in their vacation place for some time, and when they least expect it, when they're sleeping at night, you put fire to the house and you run out and escape. Now Vidura, who was the chief minister of Dhritarashtra, he knew everything. He was the most intelligent person on earth. So Vidura, he understood the plan. So as Yudhisthira and the Pandavas were going to the house in Varnataka, Vidura said something to Yudhisthira, which only the intelligence of Yudhisthira could understand. Everyone else was standing there, but they didn't know exactly what he meant. Does anyone remember what he said?
Fire can kill the material gross body, but the soul cannot be killed by fire. Something like that.
He indicated in so many indirect ways that the house would burn. And Yudhisthira Maharaj understood. So he was very careful. And then Vidura would constantly send messengers to secretly give information to the Pandavas of what the Kuru's plans would be. And one of these messengers said that Bhima, you should dig a tunnel from under the house that goes all the way across the river and comes out in another area. And you should make that completely secret so nobody knows. That will be your only hope of escape. So during the night, when everyone is sleeping, Bhima would be digging this tunnel. And of course, you know, Bhima was most strong, very powerful. So he built this underground tunnel, but he kept like the doormat over it, so nobody could recognize what was happening. So then Vidura sent another message. She was directing the affairs, and explained how the Pandavas could escape in this situation. The time was ordered upon the servant one night to burn the house. That night, the Pandavas, they invited 5 Nishadas, untouchable type persons, very simple persons. And they entertained them, they fed them incredible amounts of food, they gave them intoxications, and also they gave the same thing to the servant of the Kurus. So they were all just over-eaten and over-intoxicated, and they all went to sleep. At that time, Bhima opened up the tunnel, and all the Pandavas started with Mother Kunti. She was also with them. The Pandavas and Mother Kunti. They started running through the house. And then Bhima lit the house on fire, and then they ran. And they came out on the other side, and they saw huge, gigantic, raging flames burning the house. And all the people of Varnataka, they came forward, and they were all crying, weeping. Oh my God, Yudhisthira, his brothers, they're all dead, they're all killed. And after hours and hours and hours of flames, when the fire finally subsided, they found 7 unrecognizable corpses, mostly burnt. And everyone thought it was the 5 Pandavas, Kunti, and the servant. So the news came to Hastinapur that we have found the burned remains of the Pandavas. And the residents of Hastinapur were in great lamentation. And Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, although in their hearts they were in ecstasy, they were very happy, thinking, our plan is complete, well, succeeded. But externally they began to, how sad, we love them so much, this is such an untimely death. So they went there, Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, they performed all the funeral ceremonies, and they were pretending to cry and be very sad. Meanwhile, Vidura was washing it off. He knew exactly. So at that time, If the Buddha told the Pandavas, then it is not a good time for anyone to know that you are alive, because they will hunt you down. So you shall stay somewhere incognito, where no one knows who you are. And the five Pandavas came to him, to this place, Ekachaka. And this is one of the great celebrated places of the Mahabharata. Mother Kunti and the five Pandavas lived in the house of a Brahmin family. We are going to go to that house in just a few minutes. We will tell the story of what took place in that house when we arrived there. But what happened here is while the Pandavas were living here, Lord Sri Krishna, he and Vidura were the only ones on earth who knew that they were here. Vidura knew because he sent them here. And Krishna knew because he's Krishna. Vedaham samatita nivarita manani chajana bhavashani chabutani manti vedana kashchana. Krishna says, I know everything past, everything in the present, and everything yet to come. I know all living beings. He knows everything. He says in the 13th chapter of Gita, everywhere are my eyes and hands and legs and faces. I know everything, I see everything, I hear everything, I taste everything. Nothing is unknown to Krishna. So Krishna would come here secretly, and he would have pastimes with the Pandavas. They would play. The Pandavas were still very young, you know, at that time. So Krishna would have sports with the Pandavas. And this was the favorite place. They used to jump from this tree into the water and have water sports. Krishna and the Pandavas. You know, Arjuna and the Pandavas, they had Shakyaras. Their lila with Krishna, their ras, was friendship. They were not master servant. Arjuna was Krishna's friend. So they would play like friends. So one day, to the amazement of the Pandavas, Krishna jumped from the tree into this lake, and he went down, and he never came back. Huh? He's somewhere in that pond. Pandavas were waiting, but he never came. So this, what you see there is a temple that they actually built in this pond. The temple where, you know, Krishna's disappearing in this pond. Is there anything else? So now we will go to the hall where the Pandavas were living. And by the kindness of one Brahmin family, they were given residence in the home. And we are now sitting on that holy site where the Pandavas lived during that time of their exile. Kunti was a most gracious lady. And she had great affection and appreciation for this Brahmin family, for all that was given to them. But one evening, the husband and wife were bitterly weeping in a piteous condition. They can do nothing but cry. So Queen Kunti, she inquired, what is it that makes you cry to such a limit? And the lady, the wife, began to explain that for many years, residing just outside on a hill in this town of Ekachatra, there was a great powerful Rakshasa. His name was Bakasura. And this Rakshasa is very fond of drinking the blood of human beings and eating their flesh. And he is so powerful that no one can challenge him. The whole kingdom together with all of our forces, we cannot compete against his mighty strength. So he was causing such an incredible amount of fear and anxiety in everyone's heart, because whenever he felt the urge, he would just come down and start slaughtering people and eating them. And no one knew whether they were going to live from one day to the next. So at one time, the elders of the village, they approached him to make some sort of a contract. They told him that we will prepare once every fortnight, every 2 weeks, we will prepare for you a huge, gigantic, most wonderful feast of all sorts of luxurious preparations. So much that it will fill your belly for 2 weeks, and you can just go to sleep for that 2 weeks. Because the Kshatriyas basically, they are fond of eating and sleeping. We all have some Kshatriya tendencies within us. Except they like to eat abominable foods. So, they said, but not only do you get this whole feast, which will be sent up on a wagon, but the person who drives the wagon, that human being, you can also eat him for dessert. So Bhakasura agreed. So then the people of the village began to try to decide who's going to be the dessert for Bhakasura. Every 2 weeks we have to send someone up with this cart. So they decided that the whole village would rotate, and each family, when it was their turn, they would have to send their son. So this most chaste Brahmin lady, she said, tomorrow is our turn, and I only have one young son. He's the only son I have. We can have no more children. Tomorrow he will be sacrificed to this great Rakshasa demon, Bhakasura. Therefore, our heart is most grief-stricken. So Kunti pacified her. She said, you do not have to send your son. She said, I have 5 children. You only have 1. So if I lose 1 of my 5, I still have 4 more. So it's no problem. But if you lose your only one, you will be without any children. So let me send my child. No one will know. Everyone will think that it is your child being sent. But I will send mine. And the Brahmin's wife said, no, no, no. You are my guest. How can I ask anything? The host never asks any service from the guest. A good host simply wants to give to the guest. How can I ask you to sacrifice your own beloved child for me? Out of the question. Kunti said, please, please, I insist. Besides, my son is very strong, and he is very fond of fighting the Rakshasas. So I do not have any fear. So Kunti convinced. And then, of course, you know, because it was a Brahmin family, they did not have so much food. They were basically poor. So the Pandavas would only get a little food every day. And Bhima, he was always very hungry. Yeah. One name of Bhima is Brikodar, which means one whose belly is hungry like that of a wolf. Wolf belly, literally, it means. So he could eat insurmountable quantities of prasad. And this was one of the great things he was famous for. Srila Prabhupada used to say that if you could perform the Herculean tasks that Bhima could, then you could overeat like Bhima could. Otherwise, you have no right to eat too much. It is described when they were in exile, they would go out in bed for food. And they would bring all the food back and give it to Queen Kunti. And she would take all the food, and there were six of them. And she would divide all the food for the six people in six parts. And she would give five parts to Bhima, and then the other five would divide the other part. Huh? Yeah. And Bhima still wasn't satisfied. He always was anxious to get his kingdom back, mostly because there was such nice prasad. So Kunti approached Bhima and she said, "I have a nice opportunity for you. They're cooking a huge big wagon full of sumptuous food. Gigantic mountain that is being put on a big wagon. And you can have it all for yourself. No dividing. You just have to kill one rakshasa on the way." Bhima was in ecstasy. He was jumping. Joy. So the next morning, the park was formed, and then the son of the Brahmin boarded the cart, and everyone was crying and saying, "Well, now it is your last day." And then he rode up. He was riding the cart. He just started reaching back with his big hands and started grabbing food and started putting it in his mouth. And as he was driving, also the rakshasa could eat the horses, everything. He was riding the horses and he was just eating and eating and eating. He was just enjoying like anything. And finally he got to the top. Bhasasura was waiting. It was a scheduled time. And he saw that there was practically nothing left in the cart. And then he saw Bhima eating everything. He was furious. "What is this nonsense? You are eating my meal. You have now come to my abode, which for you will be the abode of death. Today I will destroy you. Not only will I destroy you, I will tear you to pieces and torture you and then kill you for what you have done, this offense. I challenge you." So Bhakasura started coming at Bhima. Bhima told him, "Wait till I finish my prasad. When I'm eating prasad, I don't like to be disturbed." So Bhakasura attacked him. He came at Bhima with all of his mighty power and his fists. He began to try to destroy Bhima. Bhima with one hand was just pushing him, keeping him a distance. And with the other hand, he was eating prasad. And then he would just push him and then eat. With his left hand he would push, with his right hand he would eat. And this went on for some time. And the Brahmin was becoming too much anxious. He was attacking, attacking. Push away. Finally he finished every morsel, every crumb in the whole wagon. Took some water, washed his hands. "All right, Bhakasura, now you have to fight. Now I have had my meal." And then they began to fight. And it was a most incredible fight. They were both so powerful. They were both more powerful than 10,000 men. And they fought and fought. And they were both screaming with such force that the earth was shaking. And then Bhima, he thought, "Enough playing with this foolish demon." He took the demon with his powerful hands, and he took his head and pushed it into his body. Then he took his arms and pushed it into his body. Then he took his legs and pushed it into his body. So it was just one ball. And then he took that ball and he started pounding it, kicking it, beating it, bouncing it. So it was just a huge, gigantic, bloody mess. No one could figure out what or So then we're gonna put that bloody mess on the wagon. And he drove down. This was at night. And he left the demon's body, Bakasura, at the gate of the city of Apachakra. And the next morning, when the residents of Apachakra woke up, they found Bakasura's body totally pulverized. It took them a while to figure out who it was, but they did. Meanwhile, Bhima came back to the home of Kunti, and Kunti was, you see, it took him a little longer than expected, so Kunti was becoming a little concerned. So when Bhima came back, everyone was very happy, and then he came back and she said, "So Bhima, how are you?" And he was feeling very happy. And then I had an first good meal in months. So then Kunti told the Brahmin family that when these people come, you must say that your son killed the demon. Because if anyone else suspects that someone else did it, the news. She couldn't tell why, but in her heart she was thinking that in Hastinapur they will know only Bhima can do this. So the next day, there was a big festival, celebration, where everyone was honoring this little Brahmin son, the villain of demon. Huh? And he was just like accepting all this worship and honor of your son. He was so powerful. He was just under the order of Kunti and the Pandavas. So, this Apachakra Dham has been a very sacred holy place in the holy Vedic scriptures since time immemorial. But it's